Good morning. Glad to have you join us again today. We're starting a brand new series this week, and I'm really excited about it. We'll probably come back and do some more in Daniel at a later time. But since we're heading towards Christmas, we're going to start into a new series on the book of Matthew. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Would you bow your head with us as we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and to listen to your word and Father, hear your word and study your word. And I just pray that we would be a people who hear your word and then allow it to shape us and to transform us into the people you want us to be. Father, help us to be a people who love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Father, I pray that you would help us see those things in our lives which displease you. And Father, that we would be people who confess our sins to you and turn from those things and head in the direction that you want us to go. Father, I also pray that you would bring healing to those who are sick. I just pray that you would touch their bodies, Father, be with their caregivers as well and their families. I pray that you would give them a sense of peace. Father, I pray that you'd be with our church as we go through this Christmas season in the midst of COVID still. Father, I just pray that you would help us and allow us to continue to be the church in the midst of these circumstances. Father, I also thank you that you have blessed us and we are able to continue to give in our tithes and offerings. Father, I just pray that you would bless those tithes and offerings, that as we use those, they would be used to serve you and bring honor and glory to your name. Father, we realize that we are simply stewards of what you have given us, and so we give you praise for that. Father, I also want to pray that you'd be with the Reeks as we have the Reeks as our mission spotlight. We know they've gone through a very difficult time with COVID and, in fact, the loss of a son-in-law due to COVID. And so, Father, I just pray that your hand would be with the Reeks today, that as they mourn that loss, that you would bring comfort and healing to their family as well. Father, you are good to us, and I pray that you would bless our time together now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't mean to scare you, but the last time I did one of the Gospels, I did the Gospel of Luke a few years ago, and it was over 80 weeks long. Now, we're not going to do, I think Matthew will take just as long, but we're not going to do it all at one time. It's going to be a series that we're going to jump out of from time to time, do other things, and then we'll come back to it. But I think you'll find it very interesting. I think it's important that we have a foundation, a strong foundation, and especially in the Gospels. And so I want us to take the time to do that. It's a gospel, we call it, because it's good news. And that's what Matthew, the writer of Matthew, thought about it. And that's how we see it today, that a Savior has truly come. That God came down in the incarnation and Jesus was born. That's what we're celebrating this time of year. And so this is a fascinating book, a unique book, and I think it'll be something that we'll get a lot out of. Now, there are four Gospels, and three of them are very similar, and they're all written by different people. From different perspectives, they all recorded something a little bit different, and they all wrote to different audiences. And so it's kind of a different experience. If you are familiar with the other ones, that's great. But we're going to be focusing on Matthew during this series. To start with, I want to look at Matthew 13, verses 51 and 52. It's an interesting statement that is made there by Jesus, and it's right about in the middle of the gospel, right about in the middle of Matthew. And this is what it says. Jesus has been talking and teaching his disciples, and he says this, "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Now, that might be a confusing verse to you, but a lot of scholars believe this is Matthew's way of saying something about himself. Because indeed, Matthew fits that description. He was a teacher of the law. He was well educated. He was, as it says in some translations, a scribe. You know, he knew how to read and write. And he was also a disciple of Jesus. And so, where it says a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, it fits him as well. And what Jesus is saying here is he becomes like a person who has a house. He's established himself and he has his storeroom to hold his wealth. And he goes and he keeps bringing out treats out of that storeroom. And he's saying that in the writings of these people, so in other words, in Matthew, you'll have these little nuggets that you've known about. You know the story. And as we look at Matthew, there'll be a lot in Matthew that you've heard many times. And you'll say, "Yeah, I know that. I've heard that before." But there's also the possibility that you're going to find some new stuff, some new treasures that maybe you hadn't noticed before. And Matthew is kind of like that. It's a very deep book as well. And you know, we do that. We do that with movies. We do that with books. We might read it or watch it and we have a surface level understanding and it all makes sense and everything. It's great. And then we watch it again and we see that, oh man, how did I even miss that? And so that's what Matthew is like. And I think you're going to find some things that you're going to find useful. And it'll be like somebody who just brought out some new treasure for you. So keep Matthew 13, verses 51 and 52 in mind as we go through this series. Well, let's get started. And so we're going to begin Matthew chapter 1. I've entitled this The Introduction, and really creative, right? And this is how it goes. It says, "This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram, the father of Abinadab, Aminadab, the father of Nashon, Nashon, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David." And I'm going to stop there because I know what you're thinking. And as I started this, I thought, oh no, I'm going to probably end up starting this while there's no people here in the room and they're just watching me online. And the problem with that is when I start reading a genealogy, if you're in the room, at least you have to have maybe, you know, you have to get up and walk out. You might not do that. You might be a little bit more captive if you were actually here. But if you're online, I know that there's a really strong tendency as soon as you start hearing me read these genealogies, you might be thinking, you know, I think I can click it off right here and move on. And so that kind of is a good question to start with. What in the world is going on here? Why is Matthew starting this story with a genealogy? And I just want to say that a genealogy is really important in some cultures in this world, even today. Now, I know my Grandpa Pete and Grandma Minnie. That's about it. I just don't have a strong, you know, I don't know way, way back. I know who my aunts and uncles are. You know, they might get cranky every now and then, and I'll hear from them, and maybe a cousin or two. But I just don't have, and I know maybe some of you, it's not that way. Maybe you have a long family history. The genealogy goes way back, and you know it well. And sometimes it matters in certain cultures. It really matters. Now, when I went and asked Kim's mom if I could marry Kim, she didn't delve into my family as far as that goes. She didn't say, well, you know, what family are you from? They didn't do any of that. And for which I was grateful, by the way. But in some places, that would be really important. Who you are really matters. And that was very true in Jesus' day and when Matthew is writing. And he knew that this was crucial to identity. It mattered who Jesus was, and he wants to make sure he makes that point. Now let's go back and start at verse 1, because I want to just share a few other things here. First of all, this is what it says. It says, this is the genealogy of Jesus. That's how it starts. And it actually starts there with Biblos I always have a trouble saying it. Geneseos. Biblos Geneseos. And that means not really the book of genealogy. It means the book of Genesis. In fact, we actually have heard that before. It might sound familiar to you. Because if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, this is what it says. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, this is the account that is actually in the translation of the Old Testament that Matthew's audience was familiar with, was Biblos Geneseos, the same thing. And so some people might have been hearing this, you know, so you imagine that they're reading, somebody is up in front reading Matthew's gospel, and they would have heard a book of the new Genesis. They might have even thought that. And I thought that's an interesting way to look at it. The book of generations. And so that's how it starts. And then you notice in verse 1, Jesus is given three titles. Now the first one is Jesus the Messiah. Some of you might have Jesus the Christ. But that was the Savior. That was the one they were looking for. And so that was the first title that he's given in verse 1. The second one is Son of David. And that was really important because way back in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, it says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. This is God speaking through the prophet Nathan to David. And he's saying that, you know, it's out of you the Messiah will come. And the people knew this. And so they were looking for somebody who was a descendant of King David. And so we have Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, and then there's one more, and it says the Son of Abraham. Okay, so now this is just making sure that it's established. This is a true Israelite. Now, in Matthew, this is after Daniel's time. Daniel was in the Old Testament, and Daniel, as we've just been through, was prophesying during the exile. But when they went back from exile, you know, it was kind of an interesting history in there. And not all of the kings were true Israelites. A lot of records were lost. There was just a lot of confusion. It was just really a difficult thing to follow all these things. And so what Matthew is doing here then is making sure that he establishes that not only was Jesus fit as of the line of David, but he was a true Israelite. In other words, what Matthew is doing, he's starting out his book by saying Jesus is the one that the Israelites have been waiting for. And then he launches in, and he launches into this genealogy I read the first six verses of, and you can follow it through. It goes all the way through verse 16 and then concludes and wraps up in verse 17. And I encourage you to go through that. But I just want to talk a little bit about this genealogy, because this genealogy is unusual. Now, it's unusual in a lot of ways, probably a lot more ways than we're going to cover today. But remember layers. There's layers upon layers, and there's a lot of stuff packed in here that it's easy for us to miss. And I just want to bring some of those out. So here are some of the ways this genealogy is unusual. First of all, there are some spelling variations. Now, I'm not saying that this wasn't how they were supposed to be spelled. That is a legitimate spelling for these names. But let me just get to it. Look in verse 7, first of all. It says, Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Abijah, the father of Asa. Now, that isn't the actual word there, and maybe some of you have an ESV Bible. I think there's a few other translations that have it differently. But in a lot of those, it doesn't say Asa, it says Asaph. It's A-S-A-P-H. Now, they have studied this, and they have found that sometimes Asa is spelled that way. It is spelled A-S-A-P-H. But it's also interesting to note that one of the psalmists, one of the greatest psalmists in Israel, was a guy named Asaph. And he wrote many of the psalms. If you go and you look at some of the psalms at the very beginning, it'll often say who wrote it. David wrote a lot of them, but Asaph also wrote a number of the psalms. Okay, so that's one. And then go down and look at verse 10. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. However, in the original language, that's not the word that they use for Amon. They change it again and they use the word Amos. And that's the one that's actually in the original. And so here you have Amon changed to Amos. And again, Amos is a variation, a different way of spelling Amon that they have found that, yes, that was done occasionally. But we also know that Amos was an incredible prophet in the Old Testament, highly regarded. He also happens to be a prophet who has a lot to say about the coming Messiah. And so, some people, and I think I would be included in this, think that either this was just an alternate spelling that they just happened to do, a mistake maybe. That's why a lot of these translations have corrected it and put the original name back in there. Or, and this is what I think, is that Matthew is just trying to tell something in it, and that's okay. That was something that was acceptable to do in a genealogy at that time. He's trying to say something. And maybe a good way of wrapping it up is Matthew is saying that all the Psalms and the prophets are pointing to Jesus. Because he puts this very prominent psalmist and a very prominent prophet in this list. Another way that this genealogy is unusual. Women are included, and that's okay, but not the right ones. If a person was going to include the women in a genealogy, and apparently that would have been, you know, acceptable, not preferred probably, but acceptable, but they would have been the prominent ones. And the most prominent, there's four women in this genealogy, and the most prominent four women in Israel were considered the mothers of Israel. And so you have Sarah, Abraham's wife, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, and Leah and Rachel, Jacob's wives. And these four were considered to be the mothers of Israel. But that's not the ones that Matthew includes. He includes, his four are Rahab, who is a prostitute. You remember when the Israelites conquered Jericho. Tamar, who had this just gross situation with her father-in-law, Judah. It's not a pretty story at all. Ruth, now Ruth seems to be an upstanding woman, but she was not an Israelite. She was a Moabite. And Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Now, Uriah was a Hittite. He wasn't Israelite either. Maybe Bathsheba was. We don't know that. But we know that Bathsheba had an affair with King David. So there was a scandal involved. And so all four of these women would seem not to qualify. They're disreputable, or they're Gentiles, or they're something else. It's not the four that you would expect to find there. And again, this is just my thinking here, but Matthew might be saying that Jesus is for everyone. It's not something that we're going to clean all up and have out there that, you know, Jesus is only for the respectable. No, there's some ugly stuff in here. And there's stuff that you wouldn't expect to find. And, you know, sometimes we feel that way. We feel like we don't belong, or we're not worthy, and or any of that. And so we are disqualified. But it seems to me that Matthew is saying, no, that's not what Jesus is about. That Jesus is for everyone. This Messiah that I'm proclaiming, that I'm talking about, this Messiah is for everyone. The next unusual thing about this genealogy are the 14 generations of verse 17. Let's just look at that. This is what it says in verse 17. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile, and to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. And so he has this. Now that's really strange. And if you read that, you think, well, what's up with this? What is going on with the numbers here? And if you thought that, you would be right. It seems like there is something going on here with the numbers. I think there is. It doesn't seem like they have all the numbers or all the people, all the spots filled. It's not a complete genealogy. Now, some people say, well, it is. It's just, you know, we don't understand where it was supposed to go. But I think that it was perfectly acceptable for Matthew to do this. A perfectly acceptable genealogy. It did what it was supposed to do. And so then we have these 14 generations. What's going on? Well, in Judaism, in the Hebrew culture, there's a thing called gematria. Now, you might have heard that name before. It might come up, and it's kind of like this Jewish numerology thing that's going on. And it's something that was very popular in Jewish history, but also many other cultures, they're all into that. And what that involves is assigning numbers and values to the letters of the alphabet and to a few other things as well. And they would use this to get things to add up. And then they would start, you know, they would say, well, this letter, this word has two letters and this is its value, and So that means, you know, it equals 12. So we count 12 and we land on this. It's this kind of stuff. Now, there's a lot of weird stuff that can come out of that kind of numerology. And, I mean, it can go way out. It's like Bible codes kind of thing. It's kind of there. It's, you know, when you're going, uh-oh, somebody's got their beanie on. One of those kinds of things. But some of them weren't used so much as a secret, but as to make a point. And that could be what's going on here. Now, another thing we see in these generations is David is all through it. We see in this passage, we actually read about David in verse 1. We read it in the genealogy, and then we read about David again at the end. We see David's name come up all the way through it, and it seems like Matthew wanted to make sure that people understood that Jesus was the son of David. He came from that line, and he was the Messiah they were waiting for. And so this number is in there. And this is how gematria would work. I have a slide here that has a chart on the left, and that's just this chart doesn't, you know, it's just just shows how Hebrew numerology worked. They would assign numbers to the letters, and then they would, if you look on the right side, you'll see then the name David. Now, in Hebrew, they don't use the vowels, so David would be, in English, D-V-D, or Dalet, Vav, Dalet. And if you look on the chart on the left, you'll see that Dalet is equal to 4. That's the number that's associated with that letter. Every time I see that, I think of Doctor Who and those little robot things that go around. But if you're not a Doctor Who fan, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. You see that Vav then equals the number 6. So David, D-V-D, or Dalet, Daleth, Vav, Daleth, would equal 4, 6, 4, or 14. And that would have been known by a lot of people. In the society that Matthew lived and this audience lived, they would have recognized 14 as a number for David. It would be kind of like me, and if I was talking to you about Detroit Lions football, and I said, you know, number 20 was the greatest ever. Most of you would know I'm talking about Barry Sanders, because that's his number, right? And so that's the way it would be. About David. David's number, if that's the way you want to say it, is 14. And so, again, people hearing this story would see that. They would notice it in verse 17 when he's talking about all these 14 generations. They would automatically be thinking, this is tying back to David. Not only that, but if you go to the next slide here, you'll see that you would also notice this, that the 14s could be broken down even more, and you would have 7 plus 7 plus 7 plus 7 plus 7 plus 7. So 6 sevens, and what's missing? One more 7. They got to have that one more 7 in there. And that would say, you know, what Matthew is saying is, the final 7 is the Messiah. It's the honored position. He completes the 7 sevens. Some people might even take that all the way back to the prophecies in Daniel. But that doesn't matter. What Matthew, I think, is saying here is that all the signs, all the things that you people, you know, talking to his audience, all the things that you people look at, it all points to Jesus, this Messiah. This is the one. Finally, one more odd thing then is that at the very end, it says, verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And he just leaves that out there, and it's like, wait a second. Who's the father of Jesus? It says, Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus. But who's the father? And so Matthew kind of just sets this introduction up saying, yeah, this is the question, isn't it? Just wait till you find out who that is. And so he sets that up. Another thing that's interesting, in verse 17, this is where it talks about the 14 from here to here to here. Well, if you look at verse 12, that's after the exile of Babylon, and you count from there, it only goes to 13. There's one missing. And so we get to find out who the father of the Messiah is coming up. Well, I think Matthew is saying, be prepared. Because this is a remarkable and strange story. And I've already started that in this genealogy. But wait till you hear the story of this incarnation. Matthew is preparing us for what's coming ahead. You see, to a Jewish person, this opening, this introduction, this beginning of this story would have been just incredible. This is an explosive beginning. And we read these genealogies and we think, oh, please, gouge my eyes out. I can't take it anymore. But I'm just trying to say that that's not the way Matthew's listeners would have heard it. They would have been riveted to this story. Something big is going to happen. And I just want to leave you this morning as we start this. And I know this is just a ton of information, not much application here. But I just want you to understand that no matter what your past is, no matter what your present status, where you are right now, and you might find yourself in a pretty dark place or a pretty messed up place. And no matter how much you might have messed up, and you might be feeling right now, man, there is no hope for me. No matter how hopeless you might feel, maybe you're just tired, you're just drained, you just feel like giving up, you're just sick of the situation we're in, you're sick of COVID, you don't even want to hear the word. No matter how much you just feel like giving up, Matthew is saying, just hang on, this good news is going to blow your mind. Just wait until you hear this story. This story is for you, and it's just what you need. It's rooted. It's telling us that Jesus' life is rooted in this story. And you know, your life is a story too. And as we go through this gospel, we see how these stories come together. And I'm excited as we move forward. And I just hope that you have a sense of the good news and the hope we have in Christ. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the incarnation. And we celebrate this time of year. We love celebrating. We give gifts. But, we say this all the time. But help us to remember the greatest gift. Help us to remember how amazing, how unusual, how quirky, how remarkable it was. But most of all, help us to remember that it means everything to us. It means salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning, and I pray that you will have a great week. Thank you.
One life, one hope.